manifest in the flesh. Who would ever have figured this out on their own without help? Nobody. As a matter of fact, the world is full of people this very evening that still haven't figured it out, because without faith, it would be possible, not possible, to believe or understand the things that we can understand with the illumination of the Holy Spirit. And again, the Greek word translated mystery is mysterion, and it doesn't mean something that is still a secret. It means that something that was once hidden from men's view and is still hidden from some men's view is made clear and plain to some of us. And just by way of review now, the first bullet that we put up tells about the fact that animal sacrifice is inadequate to pay for our sins. And then we're told in another place in the Scripture that the shed blood is the only covering for sin, and we're told that blood must be shed. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. And then in the second bullet, we learned that some of the heathen, having been involved in some measure of deep thought, realize that an animal sacrifice isn't sufficient to atone for the sins of a man. Even though it's life for life, it's not the same kind of life. And so they began sacrificing their children. And that scripture asks the question, shall I give the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? And God said, no, and no wise shall you do this. And if you do, I will destroy you. They did, and he did, and it was 70 years in Babylon. In the third bullet, we learned that human sacrifice is going to be necessary, but God is going to provide himself a sacrifice. And that, of course, was the story of Abraham and Isaac going up to Mount Moriah, and God telling Abraham to sacrifice Isaac, his only son, at the last minute. There's a ram caught in the thicket. God told him to sacrifice the ram in lieu of his son. But that's not going to work for us. We have a picture now that God is going to provide himself a sacrifice. And it's going to be a human sacrifice. But is it going to be a sinful human sacrifice? And then in Hebrews chapter 10, this bullet, we learned that the Lord Jesus Christ says prophetically, lo, in the volume of the book it's written, I come to do thy will, O God. And last time we got together, we studied that in some depth. We talked about the everlasting covenant made between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit before the world ever was. And God, being who he is, knows all of his own children, elect before the foundation of the world, according to the foreknowledge of God. That in no wise did away with the requirement for the blood sacrifice. The elect are redeemed by the blood sacrifice of the one that God provided for himself. Now tonight, let's turn to Hebrews chapter 9 and verse number 19 and spend a little time in the Word before we go to the Lord's table. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse number 19 through 26. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse number 19. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and of goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book and all the people, saying, this is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined unto you. Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. It was therefore necessary that the pattern of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ has not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with the blood of others, for then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now, once in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. The mystery of Christ manifest in the flesh. Now we learned at the very first bullet when we started this screen that first of all, sacrifice is required. But that the blood of goats and bulls could never take away sin. We learned that a human sacrifice taken from among our own sinful race is not right, and it's an abomination in the sight of God. We learned from another story that God will provide himself a sacrifice. We learned in the next bullet that Jesus Christ himself, and this is the mystery of the incarnation, took upon himself a human nature, a body hast thou prepared for me. And now it's all being drawn together here in the teaching in the book of Hebrews that we just read. Let's look at it again. Verse number 19. For when Moses had spoken every precept of all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and of goats with water, and scarlet wool, and hyssop, and sprinkled both the book and the people, saying, this is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined unto you. Now we learned earlier that God did tell them to do animal sacrifice. But then it almost seemed like God had changed his mind because he said, well, the blood of goats and bulls could never take away sin. And so what's the deal? Well, here's where we draw the net. Look at verse number 23. It was therefore necessary that the pattern of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. What is a pattern? Okay. Are some patterns pretty accurate? Brother Casey would tell you they are if you're building an aircraft engine. You want to stick real close to the blueprints. Disastrous results can come about if you don't. You can make a pretty good representation of a pizza out of cardboard. Some of the ones I've eaten in restaurants tasted strangely like cardboard. But they don't taste very good, do they? When you want a pizza, you don't want a cardboard cut out of a pizza. You want the real McCoy. I think we understand that. Well, in verse number 23, the scripture says it was necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these. What is the word these referring to?
The sacrifice of the animals.
The sacrifice of the animals, that's right. Referring back to what we just read in verse number 19. Moses, according to the law, took the blood of animals and it was offered up. Verse number 21 says, all of the vessels of the ministry according to the tabernacle were all purified with blood. God told him to do it. Verse number 20. But it's a pattern. It's not the real thing. It is a pattern. Now, after the semicolon in verse number 23, the scripture goes on to say, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. What's the key word that you should always look for in the book of Hebrews? Better. Better sacrifices. What does the scripture mean when it says in the book of Hebrews that he takes away the first that he may establish the second? And it says that in a couple of different places, doesn't it?
What is the first and what is the second?
The first is the animal sacrifice.
If we were to use the language of verse 23, what would we say? Yes, and the second is the reality. The reality is better. But the heavenly things themselves, of which the tabernacle and the temple standing upon the earth were but patterns, are better than the patterns. Which gets back to the cardboard pizza. You can figure it out for yourself. I'd rather have the real thing. When it comes to salvation, ritual might be good for those that are into ritual, but I want the real thing. I want salvation. I'll take salvation over religion any day. Verse 23, it was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. Let me ask a question. On the morning that our Lord rose from the dead, Mary shows up and is the first to see him, and he says something to her. What does he say? Don't touch me. Why did he say that? Yes, that's right. Why was it necessary that Mary not touch him? Is there something in the pattern that suggests why he said that? Mm-hmm. If we go back to the time in which the tabernacle and the temple stood and we consider the Day of Atonement, what was the high priest doing? Let's start out a couple of weeks before the Day of Atonement came. Pardon? Cleansing. The high priest had a house in the town like everybody else. But 2 weeks before the Day of Atonement, the high priest left his house, left his family, and went and lived in a special place in the tabernacle or in the temple. And he had no contact with any human being until he had gone into the Holy of Holies and sprinkled the blood upon the altar. And if he was able to come out under his own power, good. If not, they fished him out under the curtain. If he made it and he was still on his feet after he finished the ministry of the tabernacle and of the temple, then and only then did he go out and greet the people. We have a pattern in the Old Testament, in the temple and in the tabernacle. No one went near the high priest until he had accomplished the atonement. The Lord Jesus Christ, we learned, is our great high priest. Now, last time we got together, we studied the fact that Jesus is a different order of priest than Aaron and his sons. He was a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Remember what we said about Melchizedek? What's the difference between Melchizedek and Aaron? That's right, Aaron died, and so did his sons. But Melchizedek is without father, without mother, without descent, without beginning or ending of days. And Jesus Christ is a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. That's a wonderful thing. Now, you know, there's a carryover from the rituals of Israel into the New Testament church that has a pattern and reality type and antitype. Can somebody tell me what that is?
I'll give you a hint. It's one of the two ordinances of the church. If you need another hint, it's not the one we're fixing to do in a few minutes. I'm trying to be helpful here. Now work with me. Baptism! Baptism. Does baptism save a person? Well then, why would our Lord tell us to do it? It's a picture of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ and our identification with Him in that. It's a picture of it. It's not the reality. The reality will come. But we're giving a testimony by the pattern of baptism. The children of Israel were giving a testimony by the pattern of something better that was to come. Now, I don't know about you, but the word that immediately springs to mind in my mind when I think about the new heavens and the new earth and the new Jerusalem is better. Can somebody say amen? You bet. Verse 23 again. It was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ has not entered into the holy place made with hands, which are the figures of the true. What are figures? You know, after you read the scripture, doesn't it absolutely blow your mind that some denominations that call themselves Christians get confused about baptism? Is there any reason for it? All they would have to do is read. Verse 25. Nor yet that he should offer himself often as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with the blood of others. Well, there's a couple of things that I want you to see here. When the high priest went into the holy place, did he offer his own blood? No, he offered the blood of others. The life of the flesh is in the blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. If he shed his own blood, he probably wouldn't be able to finish what he was doing, would he? He'd get kind of weak there towards the last. And there's something else here. Nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year. Now, we're in a season when folks are saying to you, happy holidays. If I were you, when they say that to you, you say, oh, thank you. By the way, what holiday is it? Yeah, don't pass that up. If they want to be politically correct, that's okay, but you don't have to play their game. But they'll probably say, well, it's Christmas, isn't it? What does the word Christmas mean? Christ's Mass. From whence cometh this name? John the Baptist thought it up. Because it was hot, hard work down there in River Jordan in the summertime. No. Well, it came from someplace because a whole lot of people are fixing to celebrate it here pretty quick. It did indeed. It's Christ's Mass. Well, the Christ part is okay, but what is the Mass? That's something that takes place within the Mass, but what is the Mass itself? Why is it done? Yeah. Well, if it's only a reenactment, then why does the priest tell the people that By him blessing the elements, they are changed from ordinary wine and ordinary bread into the literal blood of Christ and the literal body of Christ. $10 theological term being transubstantiation, if it's only a picture. That's correct. They boldly proclaim that they sacrifice Christ on their altars every week. That is their official dogma. That's what the Mass is. It's an expiatory sacrifice. The Catholic Church has a number of sacraments. We observe two ordinances. Somebody tell me the difference between a sacrament and an ordinance. All right, an ordinance is something that we are required to do. Okay? What about a sacrament?
That's something that a
sacrifice would give. Sacrament has as its root sacrifice. Why is the sacrifice done? Why do the Roman Catholics sacrifice Christ on their altar over and over? What's the purpose?
They believe
that generates grace. Yes, they do. It forgives people of their sins. Unless it's a mortal sin. But I won't go there. No, we're not trying to mock them, but I'm trying to mock their theology. It's so foolish when you stop and think about it. Because all you'd have to do is read one verse, and the Mass is blown out of the water. Verse 26, "For then must he," who's the he, "often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself, one time, once for all." Now, some of you might not have this sort of a turn of mind, but I find the world a humorous place. Just one moment. Let me convey this thought. The infidels are attacking the Christians of today who have taken upon themselves a pagan holiday. December 24th, 25th is the Feast of Saturnalia. And they don't want to say the word Christmas. There's some sort of backwards, twisted humor in all of this when you stop and think about it. It is really cool. Do you realize that our founding fathers never celebrated Christmas? Because they came here to get away from the Catholics. They realized that Christmas was a pagan observation. They wouldn't even say the word. And now people are trying to say happy holidays. I just thought I'd throw that out there for your enjoyment, if your sense of humor runs in that sort of a way. Okay, Brother Ed, now you can say what you were going
to
say.
Well, it's interesting with verse 26. Why would you ever have to do it again?
Amen. Good point. And I'm so glad you brought that up, because it's about 7 till, and we're not going to rush the Lord's table, so we're going to be late. So everybody remember, it's Brother Ed's fault. Just kidding. The Lord Jesus Christ died one time and made a perfect sacrifice for everybody. Why? Because verse 27, it's appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. I'll let Jesus Christ plead my case for me. Thank you. And by the way, we're still going to do Christmas, aren't we? Just because they don't like it. Let's bow our heads and get ready for the Lord's table.